Welcome back, everyone, to Unbound, Episode 9. Old George Cooper spends the rest of the afternoon preparing us for travel.
"We'll stay close and move only at night when the moon is dim," he says. "When daylight comes, we'll rest in caves."
Old George Cooper's voice is low and rough and puts me in mind of tree bark, what's scratchy on the outside, but what keeps the inside sapwood soft and safe.
"We'll cross secret trails and hidden waterways, following the footpaths of brave folks what's trudged before us."
"But where are we going?" I ask, still not understanding. Thomas crawls into my lap, and Willie stands behind me, playing with my hair. Uncle Jim explains,
"Beyond the canebrake is a large lake what's going to take hours to cross," he says. "On the other side of the lake is a woods, a big, swampy woods. What'll take days to go deep. We'll be settling there."
"We's going to live in the swamp?" I ask.
"The big swamp?"
Long before Thomas and Willie was even born, I'd heard grown-ups spilling grave warnings about the big swamp beyond the lake.
"People what goes there don't come out.
There's snakes and rats and big biting bugs what carry diseases what make you die. There's evil spirits what suck the life from weary travelers and swallow the souls of wandering runaways.
The big swamp is the devil's playground. If he don't find you, the paddy rollers will."
Living in the big swamp don't seem much like freedom.
"But there's gators living in the swamp," I say, covering Thomas's ears.
"I's not going to lie," old George Cooper says, his voice low and serious. "There's dangers. Bears, gators, and wildcats. Living in the swamp takes courage and skill. But if anyone's got the skill," he looks at Uncle Jim, "he do. Deep's the safest place till white folks come to their senses," Uncle Jim says. "Lots of folks is already living there, already living in peace, where no planter or paddy roller can find 'em."
Old George Cooper nods.
"Things go right, you'll be deep before autumn's noon."
I pull Willie round and squeeze him, and Thomas, close. By then, Master Allen's tobacco should be dry and ready for bundling. Seems strange how little that matters now. It's barely been a day, but feels like forever since I sneaked away from the big house. I wonder if the missus took to her bed when she found out I was gone. I wonder if Anna had to bring her supper upstairs. Remembering Anna gives me a grieving feeling, and I ask the good Lord to send his angels to keep her safe. When night falls, Uncle Jim and old George Cooper leave the cave to hunt squirrels and forage for berries. Thomas and Willie is asleep on the beds, but Mama, Aunt Sarah, and me sit at the table. A pine knot torch sticks in a slit what's carved into the table. It casts ghosty shadows on the cave wall. We don't talk, but listen for the howl of dogs or the hoot of an owl. Waiting and listening makes my heart thump louder and heavier than Master Allen's footfalls when he's storming. Flickering shadows is making me sleepy when my eye catches something moving in the darkness.
"Mama, Aunt Sarah," I whisper.
"Something long and black slithering under the beds." Mama takes the torch, and we both tiptoe close enough to hear Willie's breathing and see the dribble of sleep that runs down his chin. Close enough to see two cloudy blue cat-shaped eyes staring out of a dull, dark coil. A snake. The blackest, fattest, meanest-looking snake I've ever seen. He raises his head and opens his mouth, two long fangs hang in a cave of white cotton. A low crinkling sound, like footsteps on dry leaves, scratches the dark, and a musty scent like spoiled fruit chokes me. Willie sits up and rubs his eyes.
"What's that smell?"
"Go back to sleep, Willie," I whisper. "He's just dreaming." I feel Aunt Sarah's hand on my shoulder.
"Step back, Grace. Slow as you can. Step back."
My legs is weaker than swamp grass, but I step back. So does Mama. The snake closes his mouth and lowers his head.
my whole self's trembling, inside and out.
That snake's holding a poison what could kill us, Aunt Sarah says, but he'll stay put if we leave him be.
Willie's already back to sleep, but Mama's eyes is wide as hickory nuts.
What about my boys?
Every creature's got a voice, Aunt Sarah says, and this snake's already told us he's ready to fight. The boys will be fine long as they stay sleeping.
Did you see his blue eyes? Mama asked.
Did you ever see a snake with blue eyes? Aunt Sarah gives Mama to her chair and puts the pine knot torch back in the slit.
Must be getting ready to shed his skin, she says. We'll keep watch. Sometimes being brave is just knowing when to step back and wait.
Willie wakes up again.
Mama, he calls. Mama, I smell something.
He sits up and scrunches his nose.
It's nothing, baby. Go back to sleep.
Mama tries to keep her voice happy, but I can hear the shake in it.
Willie dangles his foot over the side of the bed. Stay on the bed, Mama screams, and Willie starts to cry.
Mama takes the torch and walks toward him, real slow.
Shh, don't cry. Stay in bed. Mama's coming.
In the dim light of the pine torch, we see the snake uncoil. He points his arrow-shaped head toward Mama. He opens his cotton mouth. He slithers toward her.
Mama! Mama!
Willie calls, waking up Thomas.
Mama! Mama!
They both call.
Shh!
Mama walks toward the bed. The snake slithers toward Mama.
Eyes here, Mama tells the boys, fear swallowing her words.
The snake holds his angry head high, and I see the missus standing over me. I feel her cold hands and smell her smiling, snarling oyster breath. In the white hollow of the snake's stretched mouth, his sharp fangs flash.
Aunt Sarah pops up and taps her cane. The snake turns before my thoughts shape into sense. I grab a rock, move past Mama, and drop it on the snake's gaping head.
Keep your mouth closed, I scream, much louder than I should.
Keep your mouth closed.
Blood squirts from the snake's crushed skull, but he still squirms. Mama rushes to the bed and takes Willie into her arms. Thomas wriggles beside her, and her arms open to hold him, too.
Hush, little babies, Mama sings, but her voice withers into rasps.
At my feet, the snake twitches and turns. Leave it be, Aunt Sarah says. Those white fangs still got poison in them. Even dead, a snake what's got venom can kill. The coiled snake puts me in mind of the paddy roller we left laying in the woods. Even knocked out, them that's got venom can kill. Finally, Uncle Jim comes in carrying a bundle of berries and a basket that smells like heaven.
What have we here? He asks.
Aunt Sarah tells him how I dropped the rock and killed the snake, how I saved Mama and maybe Willie. Old George Cooper takes another rock and severs the snake's head completely. Using the tip of Aunt Sarah's walking stick, he pushes the snake head into a wooden bucket and brings it outside to bury. The rest of the snake still wriggles and squirms. Uncle Jim lifts the snake by its tail and drapes it across the hearth. Aunt Sarah shakes her head.
No brains, but still striking out.
Master Allen thinks Aunt Sarah's useless, but she's not. Aunt Sarah's too weak to walk far and too tired to give the boys a breeze when it's hot, but she's not useless. Aunt Sarah knows stuff. Sometimes knowing stuff's as important as doing stuff. Everybody's got a worth. Late that night, when the snake finally stops twitching, old George Cooper skins it and drops a rope of flesh into a pot of boiling water.
Not as good as pork biscuits, but an empty belly don't care.
I'm glad my belly's full of biscuits and berries instead of a poison snake, what puts me in mind of the missus and the paddy roller.
Tempy left the basket at the edge of the woods, old George Cooper says. Good I got friends what take care of me and my travelers.
Tempy? My Aunt Tempy? Aunt Tempy's been helping old George Cooper care for runaways? Aunt Tempy, what works in Master Allen's big house?
Old George Cooper nods. Tempy's been helping me a long time, he says.
My Aunt Tempy, what tells me to mind my own business and not talk back, what gets up in the dark and goes to bed when it's darker. My Aunt Tempy, what makes fancy tater flowers for the missus and blackberry syrup for Master's brother.
My Aunt Tempy's been helping runaways?
Old George Cooper nods and smiles. The very same.
How could that be?
I thought Aunt Tempy didn't care about nothing except making Master Allen and the missus happy.
How could I be so wrong?
My face burns in wonder and shame. I judged Aunt Tempy, same as the missus judged me.
When the boys is asleep, old George Cooper tells us about the secrets tucked inside Aunt Tempy's basket.
I didn't know about Aunt Tempy, I say.
Less the children know, the better, Uncle Jim says. But now it's time to grow up.
I watch Thomas and Willie curl together on the bed like baby kittens. Seems they's too young to grow up.
Age don't make you old, Aunt Sarah says. Worries do.
I take a deep breath. I got more worries than a swamp's got flies. Nobody knows it's my broken promises and sassy words what got the missus set on sending Mama and the boys away. Nobody knows how I judged Aunt Tempy and never thanked her for all the good things she done. If worries make you old, I must be older than Aunt Sarah.
Old George Cooper takes out a small flat rock that's buried in the bottom of the basket.
Mean anything? He asks me. I shake my head. Look careful, he says. Tell me what you see.
I hold the rock up to the torch and look close. Scratched into the smooth stone is an egg-shaped circle with another circle inside. A curved line, what looks like the moon, is scratched into the top corner.
That looks like the moon, I say, and that looks like a fish.
Old George Cooper nods. That is the moon, but that's not a fish. That's an eye. Aunt Tempy's warning us to stay put.
He looks at Uncle Jim.
Guess the paddy rollers is back hunting tonight.
The worms what's been crawling in my belly feels like they's eaten my bones. Everyone's in danger because of me.
Not sure what this is, old George Cooper says as he pulls out a worn strip of cloth that I recognize right away.
That's mine, I say,
and a sorrow and shame sinks inside me. Mama ties the ribbon round my wrist.
Seems Aunt Tempy is sending you a message, she says.
I remember Aunt Tempy lifting my chin and telling me the good Lord didn't need a ribbon to hear our prayers. I remember her pulling the pallet from under the bed and tucking Mama's ribbon into the hem of my blanket. What we love is tied to us forever, I say, and add a silent prayer to the good Lord and his angels. Please keep watch over my Aunt Tempy and forgive me for misjudging her. For the next few nights, old George Cooper's the only one that goes outside. The crickets and frogs never stop chirping, and it seems like it's always night. Seems like we'll be hiding forever. Only old George Cooper knows for sure when the sun's gone and the moon's out. And when old George Cooper thinks it's safe enough, he disappears like a turtle slipping into murky water. Each time he leaves, he brings back something to eat. It's too dangerous for Aunt Tempy to leave stale muffins or scratched rocks. But even in the dark, old George Cooper knows where to find the pine nuts in the pawpaw trees. Hardest part of the wait is keeping Thomas and Willie from laughing too loud. There's not much room to run around, but silliness squeezes in the smallest space. Mama tries making a game of keeping quiet, but the hush don't last long.
Let's draw, I say,
and in the flickering pine light, me and the boys make pictures on the dirt floor. Thomas is just scratching, but Willie starts making circles and squiggly lines, what look like people. Uncle Jim, tallest of all, wearing something on his head, what must be the hat he wears in the field. And next to him,
Mama and Aunt Sarah, both just skinny lines with circles on top. Except Aunt Sarah's got three legs, what must be her cane. Even old George Cooper's there, standing next to Aunt Sarah, his circle face marked with sharp lines and scratches. In a small space above Uncle Jim's hat, I add three circles and some short lines. That's us, I say, and Willie laughs. Aunt Sarah rests an angry look on us, but Willie don't notice and starts crossing his eyes and twisting his tongue, so Thomas spits out all the tied-up giggles he's been holding in.
Be quiet, Uncle Jim hisses from the corner where he's skinning a squirrel.
Little ones is supposed to laugh and have fun, Mama snaps. But she shushes us anyway, tears well in her eyes. Not natural keeping little ones so quiet, she says to me. Worrying and waiting wraps round our bones like swamp fog.